I never cease to be amazed every time I pull up in front of this church that God would allow a preacher like me to come here and preach to you folks. I never dreamed when I surrendered a call to the ministry that God would put me in some of the places He's put me in down through the years, traveling the roads. And I was just thinking, just in the last month, I've been close to this area. I've preached in Columbus, North Carolina. That's not too far from here, I don't believe, is it? I preached in Ellenborough, meeting down there. I preached over in Rutherfordton. And somehow or another, I've got hung up down here in these mountains. And the folks said they finally found me, and I finally found them. And it's been good meetings everywhere I've went. I appreciate the Lord. I told the preacher, he was asking me about a meeting I was in this year. He thought it was recently, but I started off this year. I've run hard all year long, not really had any time off much at all. And started out in February, and I preached in Nashville, Tennessee, inside the Tennessee State Capitol building. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You look puzzled, and I was just as puzzled as you, how somebody like me grew up on a dirt road in East Tennessee would end up inside the Tennessee State Capitol, standing right next to the bust of Davy Crockett, right in front of the House chambers, and they'd say, come on, bring your Bible and preach to us. And that night there were 500 people there. I had a Christian school choir there. They had 20 lawmakers there. The lieutenant governor was there, and the Speaker of the House was there that night in the meeting. And Dr. Clarence Sexton was the keynote speaker, and I was the low-hanging fruit that night. But anyway, I some of them said, what'd you think about that? I said, well, I've lived my whole life in the state of Tennessee, born and raised in Johnson County, Tennessee. Matter of fact, we got some Johnson County folks here tonight, the Sutherland family. We've known them, well, most of our life. But I said, lived my whole life in the state of Tennessee, and I'd never been to Nashville. Well, a lot of people say, well, you've never been to Nashville. I said, well, it's 6 hours away. And I said, I had never really had no reason to go there, because I wasn't trying to start a country music career. And so I really hadn't had no reason to go. I'd been close. I'd been about 30 minutes outside of that, but I'd never been in Nashville. So my first time going to Nashville in my 63 years of living on this planet, I walked straight into the Capitol building and preached. Now, if you tell me that God don't do stuff like that, you're crazy. Because let me tell you, only God can do that. And that night they were live streaming it, and folks back home, when some of my church members were sharing it on social media, and everybody got to looking at it going, what in the world is he doing in the Capitol? Well, I was just as puzzled as they was. I said, I don't know what I'm doing here either. But you know what? God can do anything with anybody that He wants to, anytime He wants to. And I'm just honored that I love your pastor. And of course, Brother Darren and I have been friends for many years, and I got to know Brother Roy through him. And this is such an honor for me to be able to come, and just easy folks to preach to. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Brother Roy preached last year in our Jubilee on Tuesday morning for me, and I'm going to be honest with you, he brought the message of the week in the entire meeting. It helped so many people. And preacher, I don't think you fully understand how God used you in that meeting on Tuesday morning last year. We had a man there that has been coming for many years. He and his wife would help at our Jubilee. They lived down near Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Just so faithful to come and help us. They work in the kitchen, help us preparing the meals. And the year before last year, we didn't get to have it because of COVID and everything. So it was the week before we normally had our Jubilee. This dear man and his wife were headed to church one Sunday morning, and a drunk driver hit him head on and killed his wife. He lost his wife in that accident, and it was almost a year to the date that our Jubilee, and he was still just a shell of himself. He came to the meeting, and Everybody there was concerned and praying for him. He just was lost without his wife. And even on Monday, he was there, but he wasn't there. But on Tuesday morning, this preacher preached a message. And I watched my friend sit and weep, and he went to the altar. And he got up from there, and he said, I got the help I needed. And from that point on out, the rest of that week, preacher, he went about doing the things that he had done for all those years. And that didn't take away the loss of his wife. But God used you to help my friend. And I appreciate that so much. That's what meetings are for us to get help. I'm telling you, people are hurting in these days. And we're facing difficulties, but I'm glad there's one that can help us tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4, and I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and this is a message I've not preached but one time, and I just felt like tonight that God wanted me to try to bring this. Mark chapter number 4, and I want to start reading in verse number 35. In the context of where I'm reading, Jesus has been teaching with the disciples, and he's been in a boat. Sitting in a boat teaching, and the multitude gathered on the shore. And now after he's through, he told the disciples, said, let's go over to the other side. And you find here in verse number 35, in the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me now tonight, Lord, in this place. God, without your aid, all will be in vain. We thank you for this people. We thank you for the good pastor, Lord, it's been such a blessing in our life. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to the very need of some heart here tonight. And, Father, I pray that you'll get glory out of everything that's done. And, Lord, we'll give you praise for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it, amen and amen. I'm interested in this thought tonight. Here in the scene, we find Jesus is in the ship with the disciples. And they've launched to go to the other side. And in the process of that, the Bible says that Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, and he's asleep on a pillow. Now, that wouldn't be really much to speak of, other than the fact now here they are in the midst of the journey across the sea to the other side. They encounter a storm, and it is a pretty violent storm in that the Bible talks about and describes it like this, that the waves were beating into the ship, and the ship was now full. Now, I thought about that. If you read other accounts in the other Gospels, you find Matthew described it like this. He said in verse 24, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. Luke said it like this in Luke 8:23. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And, of course, here in Mark's account, we find that the Bible describes it, said so that the ship was now full. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing when your vessel is in stormy seas. We're all going to be sailing in this life, and we navigate stormy seas all the time. But I'll tell you when the problem really arises is when the storm gets in your boat. It's not that your boat is in a stormy sea, but the stormy sea gets in your vessel. I began to think about that, and I'm preaching on this subject tonight on some things to remember when your boat is filled with water. Here are the disciples, and the Bible describes it like this, that they apparently have exhausted all of their means to try to survive. They've even gotten to the point now they've went to wake Jesus up. He's in the boat asleep. And they've asked him the dumbest question that anybody could ever ask the Savior. He said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They're looking at the one who the Bible says that in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." The reason he's even in the boat is he left heaven to come down here that they might not perish. And here they are asking him, "Don't you care that we perish?" I got news for you. Sometimes we feel like that maybe the Lord don't care or God's not watching what's going on in our life. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God that cares tonight, no matter what the storm is that you're in, no matter what the waves may be doing to your vessel. I'm glad there's a God tonight that's able to help you in the troubled seas of life. When you think about this, I looked at this storm, and the Bible describes the magnitude of it. He said in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." We all are going to encounter storms in our lives. Some are small storms. Some are little turbulent times that we go through pretty quickly and pretty easily. But every one of us at some point in our life, we're going to encounter a great storm. We're going to encounter times that will shake us to our core. There's going to be times that we're going to it's going to really test what we have on the inside. Storms that will shake you to the core. I recently saw a lady in a meeting I was in, and I remember in days gone by, her husband was a preacher, and her family, the family sang and traveled, and we were in many meetings with them. And in the last few years, such heartache and trial had come to this family. In a year's time, this lady lost her husband, who was the preacher, the man of God, suddenly, to a stroke. And he wasn't an old preacher by any means. And their daughter as well died of cancer within a year's time. And as she came to the meeting, my heart went out to her. She's trying to pick up the pieces of her life and go on. And she began to talk about times that our families had been together and we'd been in meetings. And she started showing me pictures off of her phone that she had of the memories of just a couple of years ago. And I thought about, here she is, and now she's trying. She's in the church I was preaching at, and she's moving on with her life, trying to. And I thought about, this lady experienced a storm of such magnitude that it was life-changing. In a moment, it seemed like her life was one way, and now her life is totally different than what it was. Every one of us can face a storm. It could happen tonight. Some great storm could come your way that will shake you and change the very trajectory of your life. Oh, it's the magnitude of the storm. When I see this scripture, it tells us about the manner of it. It said the waves were beating into the ship. When you think about that word beating, it comes from a word that means to strike upon, to throw over, to break over. In other words, these waves were coming up over the boat. And boy, I'm telling you one thing right now. That's a little unnerving when you start getting as much water in the boat you got on the outside of it. And I don't know about you, I'm not much of one, I've never been much of one to be out on the water. I've been on a few times, and there's been a few times I've been on some of those boats that I wished I was on dry ground. And I've seen the waves come up over the boats, and boy, that's an unnerving thing. And I thought about, but the Bible says the waves are beating against it. You may be here tonight, there may be a storm that's beating against you. There may be some situation of life, and it won't stop. It seems like it is continual. It doesn't ever let up. And the Bible said this storm was one, talked about the manner that it beat into the ship. I got news for you, there's going to be storms that will do that. But then I see the moment of the storm, and I call this is a classic come to Jesus moment. When everything else has failed, they decide to go wake Jesus up in the boat. Isn't that just a picture of how we are as human beings? Many times we try everything, but finally we have to go to Him.
I got to thinking about it. I saw three things in this scripture about this storm, and I'll give you these and hope it'll be a blessing to you. First of all, I see the silence of Jesus in his sleep. Now, can you imagine this scene? They're in a storm. The waves are coming up over the boat, feel it, and the boat is now full. They're knee-deep in water, thinking they're going to die, getting ready to go down, and Jesus is asleep. He's silent in the back of the boat. Now, it would have been probably more reassuring to these fellows, these disciples, if in the middle of that storm, Jesus had just stood up in the boat and said, "Fellas, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it." That would have been a wonderful thing. They would have probably rejoiced and said, "You know what, boy, I'm glad he told me we're going to make it. I'm glad he told me that this thing ain't going down." But Jesus never told them it wasn't going down. Jesus never said anything. His silence was what had them bought. Can I say to you, one of the hardest places you'll ever be is when you're in the storm of your life and seems like God is silent. You can't hear from him. You don't know where he's at. You can't find him. But boy, all the while, he's there. His presence is there. And he helps us in the struggles. Sometimes the silence of God, it does not mean that he doesn't care. As a matter of fact, it just means he ain't got nothing to say at that time. Amen. I thought about this. You say, "Preacher, what else is it about this?" I see the silence of his sleep. I see the stirring of the disciples in the storm. Here is a picture of human nature. I've spent the better part of the last 30 years as a preacher and as a pastor trying to preach to people, say, "Stay close to the Lord. Draw close to the Lord. Don't get distant on God. Stay as close as you can to God." And all the while, it's falling on deaf ears. And you see people get casual in their walk with God. And you see people get complacent in their walk with God. And then all of a sudden, you know what stirs them? When a storm comes into their life. These disciples, when the storm began to rage, they're just like us. They said, "We better go get Jesus." Let me tell you something. How many times have we seen it? It don't always have to take that. If we'll stay where we need to with God, God won't have to allow the storm. But sometimes the storms come in our life to get us back to where we need to be. Sometimes God speaks through the storms of life to help us in our struggles. I thought about this. You say, "Preacher, what else is it about this idea of the storm?" There's the third thing that I saw. I saw the strength, I want you to notice this, of their supplication. Now, this point hit me like a ton of bricks when I saw this. I said, these disciples came and they asked Jesus, "Don't you care that we perish?" And in this story, Jesus himself declares to those disciples, he says, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" He didn't say, "Oh, you have little faith." He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Now, this is what got me and made me shout and happy. I mean, if you're even a backslid Baptist, you ought to get happy on this thought right here. That here they are and they ain't got a lick of faith. But God still answered their prayer. I mean, they ain't got no faith. And God still heard their cry. Boy, how many times have you went to pray and talk to God and you didn't feel like you had enough faith to do anything? How many times have you went feeling like, "What's the use to pray? My faith's not strong enough." That matter of fact, that's one thing the enemy uses against us to try to defeat us from praying. He wants you to think, "Well, there ain't no use for you to pray. You ain't got no faith. Oh, there ain't no use for you to do this. God ain't going to care." I got news for you right now. God will answer a prayer even of a child of God who don't have a lick of faith. I'm glad it's about him, not about us. Amen. Sometimes our flesh gets in the way and we don't want to go into the throne room of God. But I'm glad there's a God that will hear the cry of his children in the midst of the storm. I wrote that song a few years ago. It was one of them times I felt like I'd failed the Lord. And I know none of y'all have ever felt like that. Well, if you be honest, you have. And you know how it is when you fail Him. You don't even want to go talk to Him. Kind of like a kid that's messed up. Mom and dad, and they kind of sneak around. Don't even look at mom and dad. They just kind of slip into the room and they don't want to. And I felt that way. But finally I went to where I was going to pray. And I said, Lord, You know it's me again. And I'm so sorry that I failed You. And I'm so sorry I've let You down. And that day, he listened to a preacher with no faith and even no confidence in himself that God would even hear his prayer. And went back in the house and wrote that little old song. I came to the throne room defeated today because of a snare Satan laid in my way. I wondered, oh Lord, would You hear my plea? But friend, let me tell You what He said to me. I know that You failed me. I know You've done wrong. But child, I've been waiting. What took You so long? Abundant forgiveness is filling this place. The moment You step in the throne room of grace. I'm glad, hallelujah, You may feel like you're not even worthy to go in. But I'll tell you, you are tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He made us worthy to be able to go. He said if we sin, He said we have an advocate with the Father. He said if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad I serve a God no matter how the storm's raging, how much water's in your boat. I'm glad there's a God if you'll go to Him. You may not feel like you're worthy. You may not feel like He's going to listen, but I'm here to tell you He's a God that'll still hear and answer prayer. Amen. The strength of their supplication. You think about some disciples who have no faith and they say, Lord, don't You care that we perish? And Jesus never answered them immediately. In fact, He got up. He didn't talk to them. He talked to the storm. Sometimes when He's quiet and you wonder why He ain't talking to you, He may be talking to your storm. Amen. Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind. I don't know what He said to the wind, but He may have said, you sorry outfit, wind, you scared these boys to death. Stop blowing. And then He looked at the waves and He said, peace, be still. Yeah. And here's what I like. When you're in a great storm, you know what you need? A great calm. That's what the Bible said. And there was a great calm. Oh, I thought about that. You say, preacher, what is it that I need to know about this idea of when the waves get in your boat? Well, number one, just remember this. Whenever the water is filling your boat, the storms of life are filling your boat, just remember this. Sailing with Jesus doesn't always mean smooth sailing. Somehow or another, we've gotten the idea in our modern culture that surely if I'm sailing with Him, there's no turbulence coming my way, there's no difficult days coming my way. There's no problems going to come my way. But there's nothing further from the truth. Matter of fact, we're navigating choppy waters in these days as God's children. We're navigating times like we've never envisioned in our life. We're sailing through trouble. I pastor a church. If I live till first of next year, I will start my 30th year as pastor of Dyson Grove Baptist Church. How that time flew by that quickly, I don't know. But every Sunday, I see people walk in and sit in the pews, and I see this one hurting, and I see that one hurting, and I see this one troubled, and I see this one troubled, and I see people who carry real problems and they come in. They're not looking for me to do some miracle for them, but they're looking to get a word from God to be able to help them. They understand that the sailing is not going to be smooth, but they did understand this. The sailing may not be smooth with Jesus, but you can count on this. He is in the boat with you. He'll be there with you in the storm. I remember probably 20 years ago now, maybe a little over 20 years ago now, there was a lady who some of our folks invited to church. And this lady, she lived near the Butler area. And she had not been in church in years. As a matter of fact, she had went through some troubles in her life. She had actually been a member of another church when she was younger. But she had gotten out of church and just had not lived a life, you know, for the Lord like she needed to. But somebody invited her to church, and she took them up on the offer, and she came to our church, and she started coming to the services. And, man, I could see God was working in her life. I could see God was working on her. And I'll never forget one Sunday morning. She'd been coming about probably 6 months, maybe six months. And one Sunday morning, we was having a service, and I was given the invitation, and people started filling the altars that morning. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and I saw her step out in the aisle, and she's weeping. Tears are coming down her cheeks, and she came, and she knelt on the altar on this side, and she got things right with the Lord that morning, just wept like a baby over there and got things right with the Lord. And it was like a transformation took place in her life. After that, she would come to church, but she was so full of joy, and she was so happy about what the Lord had done. And she would sing in the choir, and she would just love singing in the choir. Her name was Barb, Sister Barb. And it was about 6 months after she got things right with God, she started having some health issues, and she didn't know what was going on. She started having some headaches, and so they made her an appointment at the doctor. Her family did, and the doctors began to run some tests, and they came back with the news. They said, "You have a brain tumor." Said, "We don't know. We won't know." Said, "We think we might could be able to operate and take part of the tumor out and see." Said, "We won't know till we do the surgery." And so that was devastating news, but she said, "Okay, if you think you can get it, let's do it." And so they did surgery on this lady. They got in. They did remove part of the tumor, the biggest part of the tumor. But they came back with the news that day. I was with the family that day at the hospital, and they told them, said, "Well, we took out a large portion of the tumor, but said, we've got bad news." Said, "The cancer she has is a fast-moving kind," and said, "She may have 6 months to live." And the family, of course, was devastated. I was there with them that day, and she was in recovery. And finally, they brought her back into ICU, and they said, "Now you can go in and see her if you want to." And I went into the ICU ward that day. Of course, she didn't know anything about the prognosis or anything, and she was alert, and I walked in. She said, "Brother Leonard," said, "thank you for coming." I said, "Miss Barb, I was going to be here. I wanted to make sure you was okay." And this is what she said to me. She said, "Brother Leonard, they told me they got most of the tumor." And I knew that they had, but I knew she didn't know the rest of the story. I said, "Yeah, Sister Barb, that's good. And I'm glad they was able to do that." And she said, "Now, when I get to feeling up to it in a couple of weeks, if I'm able, I'm coming back to church." I said, "Now you take your time. I want you to take your time and make sure you're okay." She said, "I will." But she said, "As soon as I can, I'm coming back to church." It was about 3 weeks later, and she had healed up enough. She had a little like a do-rag on her head, I guess you'd say, where they'd shaved all her hair off. And she got to church that morning. By this time, they had already told her what the prognosis was. She came to church, and she was just her normal, happy self. And that morning, she got in the choir, and the choir's a singing, and man, she's standing up there, got that little do-rag on her head. She's a singing and shedding tears. And all of a sudden, God got to moving in the service, and people began to testify. And somebody stood up over here and said, "Preacher, I just want to thank the Lord that I got a good report at the doctor's office this week." And boy, I tell you, we got happy about that, and we rejoiced in that. Somebody over here said, "My test came back good too. Preacher, I want to thank the Lord for that." People's testifying over here, and different ones testifying about different things. And all of a sudden, Sister Barbara's in the front row of the choir, and she said, "Preacher, can I testify?" I said, "Yes, Miss Barb, you can." She said,
I have a good report. Jesus is watching over me. And when she said that, at first it didn't register onto me what she had said. And I went home that day and I was talking to my wife. I said, I need to ask you something. When Sister Barb testified in the choir today, did she say she got a good report? Did she say she got a good report at the doctor's office? She said, no, honey. She didn't say she got a good report. She said she had a good report. I'm glad if Jesus is in the boat with you. Even when you don't get a good report, you can have a good report that Jesus is watching over you. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you something right now. People going through troubles in this world that don't have Him, and I don't know how they make it. But even in the hardest days in this life, it doesn't matter what may come our way. I'm glad if He's in the boat. The sailing may not always be smooth, but hallelujah, He's the captain of our salvation. And He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, but He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah to His name. Just remember, whenever you're sailing and your boat's filled with water, the sailing may not always be smooth, but Jesus will always be with you. Number two, sailing with Jesus doesn't mean your emotions won't ever get the best of you. We are human beings with passions and emotions. We go through a range of those things in our lives on a daily basis. But somehow or another, we get the idea that us saved people, we're super spiritual people, that somehow or another, when the troubles come, we're always going to be out there claiming the promises of God and just... But sometimes our emotions come into play. Sometimes we begin to question, God, why did this happen to us? God, why did you let this come into our life? Even like the disciples when they asked such a question, carest thou not that we perish? Can you imagine asking a question like that to Jesus? But you see, their emotions. I guess you would get emotional when you're in the boat. It's halfway full of water, and ain't nothing you can do about it. If you're ever going to be high strung and ask the stupid question, it'd be then. And here those disciples are. They're just like me and you, men of like passion. Peter was one. Do I have to tell you what kind of fellow Peter was? He'd swing the sword first and ask questions later. Peter was always impulsive, saying what he would do. And then Jesus would tell him, now this is what you're really going to do, Peter. Sometimes our mouth outruns our brain. And sometimes our spirituality does not transfer into our emotions. Because sometimes, even though we're saved, even though we know that we're going to heaven, fear grips our heart and our life. Here's men that have been in a storm many times. And Jesus said, why are ye so fearful? Wonder how many times He's had to ask me the same question and you. Some of y'all get a report or something coming your way that scares the life out of you. Why are you so fearful? But you see, our emotions, we can't go on emotions. Emotions will deceive you. We have to base our walk upon what thus saith the Word of God. I'll never forget, and this has probably been close to 20 years ago, I had a dear lady in my church. She was one of the best prayer warriors you'd ever want to meet. She prayed for me. Sister Ida was her name. And Sister Ida was, when I was a little boy, attending Dry Run Elementary School, Sister Ida was the school lunch lady. And as a little old kid, I'd go through and get my tray, and Miss Ida would be the one that would, I'd go by Miss Ida. I ended up, after I grew up, and she got in her older years, I ended up being her pastor. And I'll never forget, she would pray for me, and She was one of them little saints in the church that you can't do without. You let the Lord just get around anywhere. Miss Ida was one of them little praising women, too. I've seen her get happy. Matter of fact, I've seen her get happy when there wasn't nobody else happy. She didn't have to be pumped or primed. She came ready. I watched her one night. I was just a young preacher. It was on a Wednesday night. There wasn't but about 20 people there. And I was up making the announcements that night. You know how spiritual that is. I'm reading off a list of announcements. Here, we're going to do this here, and if you need to meet with this one, and you need to do this. And I'm reading off this, and all of a sudden I heard something in the pews, a noise, and I looked up, and there stood Miss Ida, and she's looking up at the ceiling like she's looking up into heaven, and she's clapping her hands. And she, whoo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it's like her face was shining like she'd seen an angel from heaven. And that night I watched that little lady reach up and pull heaven down in a service. And man, for the next hour, we never knew what hit us. There's people in the altar weeping, people getting right with God. Some of them came to the altar more than one time. And it all happened to this little lady. I'm talking about if I needed somebody to pray for me, it's her. Miss Ida had a son. He was the first man as a young pastor that I ever placed on as a deacon in the church. He was a man who loved me, he loved the church, and he loved the Lord. His name was Jim. And Jim, he'd do anything to help me. He was a help to the church. But Jim got to have a little issue. He was going to have some dental surgery. And he told us, I need you to pray for me. I've got to go have some dental surgery. And said, he had to have put some stents put in his heart. So they had him on blood thinners. And because of that, and he told me, he said, now, preacher, I've got to go next week. He said, but they've had to take me off my blood thinners for a week. Make sure that when they do that work that the bleeding will stop. And so he'd had to go off his blood thinners, and I could tell he didn't feel good. But on Sunday night that week, I stood in the parking lot after church, and we stood there and talked for 30 minutes. He stood there and held his little granddaughter in his arms and talked to me. And of course, he was supposed to get that tooth cut out that week. I went home that night, never thought another thing about it. I was at home at about 6:30 on Monday morning. My telephone rang. And it ain't never good news when your phone rings early or late at night. And when I picked it up, it was Miss Ida, my little prayer warrior, his mother, on the phone. She said, preacher, I hate to bother you this early in the morning, but said, pray for Jim. Said, they're having to take him to the hospital. And I didn't know what was going on. She didn't really know what was going on. I said, oh my, Miss Ida. I said, okay. I said, you let me know if you hear anything. I said, I'll get ready and I'll go down to the hospital. And she said, I'll let you know if I hear anything. So I got up and I started getting ready, and I'm getting ready to leave the house in just a few minutes, waiting on her call. And all of a sudden, the phone rang again. It was about 15 to 7. Phone rang again. When I picked it up, somebody was weeping uncontrollably. I mean, they were just hysterically crying. And talking, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. And I said, calm down. I said, you're going to have to calm down. I said, who is this? And it was this deacon's teenage son. He was about 19 years old at that time, I guess 18, 19 years old. And he was hysterical. And he said, these are the words that he said, preacher, my dad's dead. My dad's dead. My dad's dead. He's screaming, my dad's dead. My dad's dead. And I said, oh my. I said, I'll be right there. I got in my car, went down to their house, and when I got there, this deacon's wife was just sitting in the living room. She had his shirt and pants in her arms, sitting there in the chair, just crying, weeping. I'm talking about grief like you don't experience every day of your life. And I'm just doing my best to comfort them. And this deacon's brother had arrived at the house, and he said to me, he said, after we comforted the wife and his son, he said, preacher, will you go with me to tell Mom? My little prayer warrior lady, she didn't know her son was dead. I said, yeah, I will. So that's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. We got over to her house that day. She lived in a little house up on the side of a hill. got out of the car that day and we walked in the kitchen door and just walked straight in. I could hear her. She was in there on the couch and she was praying. And when her son and I walked through the door, she looked up. And when she saw us, we never said a word. She just looked up and she said, "He's gone. He's gone." And then she went to crying as only a mother can who has just got the news that her child is dead. And she began to cry out loud. She held, I'll never forget this, so vivid in my mind. She lifted both hands and said, "Oh God! Oh God! Why have you let me down? God, you've let me down. Why, God, have you let me down?" That's what she said. That was her emotions. That was her grief talking that day. And I did my best. I said, "Miss Ida, I can't explain it. I don't understand why it's happened. But I said, I know the Lord still loves us." We went through the funeral and all of that. It was about two, three weeks later. She'd just been a shell of herself. But somebody went and picked her up and brought her to church that morning. I was standing out in front of the little white church that morning, beautiful day, and I saw her get out of the car, and when I did, I went and walked out to where she's at, and I met her in the parking lot, and I said, "Miss Ida," I said, "it sure is good to see you." I said, "Are you doing okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm doing okay." I said, "It sure is good to see you." She said, "Brother Leonard, I need to ask you something." I said, "What's that?" She said, "Can I testify today?" And I said, "Well, Miss Ida, you know you can testify anytime you want to around here. You know you've got freedom to do that." She said, "Well, really what I need to do is I need to apologize to you and I need to apologize to the church." And I looked at her and I said, "Miss Ida, what in the world are you talking about?" I said, "You ain't got nothing to, what do you need to apologize to me for or apologize to the church?" He said, "Preacher, that day you come to tell me that Jim was dead." She said, "I cried out in my grief that God had let me down." And she said, "I need to apologize to you and the church for such stupid talk." She said, "Preacher, I found out He ain't never let me down. His grace is sufficient." Can I say to you, I'm glad that when your emotions have overwhelmed you, and you just, matter of fact, when you get in a state like that, discouragement drives your dialogue. Your speech will be that of discouragement and despair. But through it all, there's a God whose grace is real that'll help you and hold you in the middle of the storm. Hallelujah to His name. Just remember, sailing with Jesus don't always mean it'll be smooth sailing. It don't mean that your emotions won't ever overcome you in the midst of the storm. But number three, sailing with Jesus doesn't mean that you'll never even be misguided in your actions. Here's the disciples. Of all the things they could be doing, they're back there waking Jesus up and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" You can't tell me they hadn't done anything up to this point. They may have even bailed water. I don't know. The Bible doesn't make that clear. The Bible says the boat's now full. They had exhausted all of their efforts to try and make sure they made it across. I was reading a story the other day about back in the early 1900s, about a ship that was crossing a channel. And they said this ship was a passenger boat that was just taking people across a channel of water. And said it was loaded down. So they got halfway across the channel and a storm arose. And the boat's struggling, going along, and said all of a sudden the engine gave out on the ship and just died. And they couldn't get it to start again, couldn't get it started. So people were anxious on board the boat and they were filled with anxiety and fear, and said, there was a woman on the boat that was so filled with anxiety and fear that she rushed to where the captain was. And this is what she said. She said, "Isn't there anything you can do? Isn't there anything that can help us right now?" And said the captain simply looked at her and said, "Ma'am, at this point, we'll just have to trust God. Now, here's where we all are, or most of the time I am. She looked at him and said, "You mean it's come to that?" How many times have we tried everything in the world till finally every other avenue's exhausted? You say, "Well, you mean it's come to that? We just got to trust God." I got news for you. That's where God wants us all to get anyway. Just to trust Him in the middle of your storm. I've been knee-deep in water. I know what it's like when the water's rising and you can't figure it out. But I'm glad in the midst of it, Jesus speaks peace to the storms of our life. Let's bow our head tonight. If we could get our sister to come with a song to play tonight, or whoever, however you want to do that tonight. I want to ask you tonight. We're navigating troubled water. Some of you may be here tonight, and there may be some situations of life that you feel like the water's rising in your boat. It may be that you have a loved one or somebody you know tonight, and seems like you've tried everything you know to help fix situations that they're facing. But it seems like their only hope is to trust God. It may be tonight you say, "Preacher, I hadn't really thought about it. Most of the time I don't feel like my prayers would avail much, but you heard tonight from the Word that the disciples didn't have any faith, yet God answered their prayers." It's not about how much you have of anything, but it's about having a God that's ever present in your life to meet your need in a time of trouble. Let's stand with our heads bowed as she plays tonight. If you need to find a place in this altar, if there's somebody you need to pray for, some situation of life you need to come and cast at His feet, I'm glad you can tonight, and He'll help you. Oh, you may be here, you say, "Preacher, I'm so tired of bailing water. Preacher, I'm so tired. The storms just beat against me to the point that I feel like sometimes just feel like the disciples have given up. Sometimes I wonder, does Jesus even care?" But then all of a sudden you realize that He is the captain of our salvation, and He is the one that's guiding our vessel. He's the one that's helping us through the troubled days of our life. Oh, I wonder, would there be somebody else tonight you feel the need? Oh, is there somebody here tonight you say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved." Boy, tonight would be a good night for you to come to know Jesus as your Savior. If you're here like that, or if you're like that and you'd like to come, we'll have the pastor pray with you. Some of these men of God will pray with you tonight if you've got that need. If you've got a burden tonight, oh, you may be here and say, "Preacher, I don't even know if God would hear my prayer." I've got news for you. You just need to try. You just need to try Him tonight. I'm glad He's a God that hears the cries of His children. I wonder, would there be somebody else? Is there somebody you say, "Preacher, I haven't come to the altar, but I've got some needs and burdens in my life. Would you pray for me tonight?" Is there anybody, lift your hand, take it right back down, say, "Pray for me, preacher. I just need somebody." I see that. God bless you. Anybody else tonight, lift your hand, take it right back down. Thank you. I see that. Anybody else? I see that. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Lift it, take it right back down. Anyone else? I see that. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else waiting just a moment? Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done. Thank you for the good liberty, Lord, we've had to preach. I pray, God, that you take the message now to the hearts of this people. Encourage them, I pray, in these days of meeting. And God, meet every need that they have. Lord, increase faith tonight, I pray. Strengthen us, Lord, for the storms of life. Lord, I pray, would you help us by your good mercy and grace. Lord, we're going to thank you for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. Bless us now, we pray. In the name of Jesus, preacher, you come tonight as you see fit.